Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you have granted us the freedom to meet together in your name and in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we just do ask that you would minister to our hearts tonight, as you know each one of us needs, that you would help me to present your word clearly and truthfully, that you would receive the honor in all that's said and done. We just pray that you would continue to fulfill the Great Commission through your people as you have called us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, Paul, by far, is the most famous missionary that we'll find in Scripture. But there are several other incidences of missions work that I'd like to look at tonight. And the first one I'd like to look at is in Acts chapter 8. I said, I'd like to thank Brother Marty. Where's Brother Marty? For the water. Over. There he is. Thank you, Brother Marty. I said, I don't know how many churches I've been in, but this is one of the few that have had some water. So thank you, Brother Marty. Servant's heart. I appreciate that greatly. Amen. Acts chapter 8 is a very familiar story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, Philip had just had great success in Samaria, preaching the gospel. There was a massive conversion in Samaria as a result of Philip's preaching. But in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, we read, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and that the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch had a copy of God's word, a copy of the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. But he didn't understand it. He needed someone to help him. Here, he had come. He was desiring to serve God. He had a copy of the scripture, the known scripture at the time. He had a copy of it. He had come to Jerusalem to worship the God of Israel, whom Isaiah prophesied about. But he didn't understand. He didn't fully understand. Of course, the Jewish religion, still at that time, even following the crucifixion, was still following the Old Testament law. So he was confused as he was reading Isaiah. Interestingly, Philip did not have to go to Ethiopia to share the gospel. He shared it with someone who had come from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. As a result, the Ethiopian believed the gospel that Philip had preached, was baptized, saved, baptized, and took the gospel back. When he said he went his way rejoicing, he took the gospel back to Ethiopia with him. And on one of our visits up to Iowa, we met a student from Ethiopia, Nana. He is a PhD student, brilliant young man, and just a strong Christian. And he was a part of the CBF group there at University of Iowa. So we met this young man. He's getting a PhD in something I can't even pronounce. But we met this young man, and so we started talking to him. We wanted to find out his testimony. So we asked him, well, were you saved through the efforts of a missionary to Ethiopia? He said, no, I wasn't. We said, oh, okay. Well, obviously, a missionary, or he said, I was saved through my church. Said, okay, great. Well, obviously, a missionary helped start your church in Ethiopia. He said, no. He said, from his understanding of his church's history, his church had its foundation in the testimony of the Ethiopian eunuch. A 2,000-year history that is still reaping souls for the Lord's harvest today. All because the Lord sent an Ethiopian to Jerusalem to hear the gospel, to bring it back to Ethiopia. Now, of course, is there a need for missionaries in Ethiopia? Yes, absolutely. There's a need in every country for missionaries today. But in this case, Philip, he traveled from Samaria to Gaza to share the gospel with this Ethiopian who was returning back to Ethiopia. So he traveled a distance of about 50 miles in order to share the gospel. Now, another story want to look at. Beginning, continuing in Acts. Acts chapter 10. And everyone knows this story as well. I'll just sort of summarize it, and you all can help me summarize it, I'm sure. The story of Peter and Cornelius, the centurion. Here Cornelius is praying. He has a vision. And the angel tells him to send for a man named Peter. So while Cornelius is sending his servants to fetch Peter, Peter is having a vision of a sheet sent down from heaven with various unclean animals in it. He's told three times to rise, Peter, kill, and eat. Peter's confused about the vision, but then the messengers knock at the door, say, Cornelius has sent us, he's seen a vision, he needs you to come tell him what he is to do. So Peter obeys, he goes, he preaches the gospel to Cornelius, all those gathered in Cornelius' house, and they are saved. Now here, Peter traveled from Joppa to Caesarea, and this is about a distance of 30 miles in order to share the gospel. And again, it results in multiple salvations of Cornelius, his friends, his family, and those there in his house. Another story take a quick look at is in Acts chapter 9. Again, everyone knows this story. It's about Ananias and Paul. Paul is the great persecutor of the church. He's on his way with letters so he can persecute the church in Damascus. On his way, he sees the risen Lord Jesus Christ, strikes him down, blinds him. He is told, go into the city of Damascus, and a man named Ananias will tell you what you need to do. So take a quick look at Acts chapter 9. We'll look at starting verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. He said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And hath seen a vision, in a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. And we'll jump down to verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith, and rose and was baptized. So here now, Paul, the greatest missionary in the New Testament, was saved through the mission efforts of Ananias. But basically, Ananias just had to go across town to reach Paul, in order to share the truth with him and have Paul saved. In all three of these cases, Philip, Peter, Ananias, all of them traveled a distance of less than 50 miles to be a witness to where the Lord wanted them to be. But the key is they were obedient to the calling of the Holy Ghost. The Lord told them to go, when to go and where to go. And they went when and where the Lord commanded them. In Iowa, we met a man at the church there in Iowa City named John. And we got to hear his testimony. John was a very successful businessman in his late 60s. But in his testimony, he had shared that he had not always been that way. He had spent his life running from God. In his early years, he just was not very obedient. At age 18, he left and joined the Air Force to get away from parental authority. He was actually stationed down in Tampa at MacDill Air Force Base. And he had a CEO who was a Christian. The CEO would witness to it, but John was not interested in the gospel. This was during the Vietnam War. But because of John's duties, his CO assured him that because of your duties, you will never be sent to Vietnam. You'll always work here on base. You don't have to worry about being sent to Vietnam. Well, one day, there was a revival going on at a local church there in Tampa. And his CO asked John to come with him. So John agreed. So they went, they heard the evangelist. After the meeting, there was a group of men gathered around sort of the back area of the church. The evangelist was there, the CEO and John were there, and several other men. And John said, the evangelist looked right at me and said, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? If you were to die, are you sure you're going to heaven? John said, he immediately turned around and walked out of the building. He said, I was running from God. The next day, he volunteered to go to Vietnam. He was running from God. He served his tour of duty in Vietnam. He came back, went through college, became a CPA in a trucking firm there in Iowa. His boss was very, very successful. So John was determined, he said, I was determined to get my millions. Just like my boss. I want to be successful. John's wife had been saved at a young age, but she had not been living for the Lord. But just through John's just basically devotion to his work, basically worshiping his work, their marriage began to deteriorate. She said, there's something more, there's more to life than this. She became involved in a women's Bible study group. And her life began to change. John saw the change in her life. But because he was spiritually blind, he couldn't understand it. He said, I was a workaholic, I was an alcoholic, and I was unsaved. But I had to get my millions. There came a point where John said, it was one Saturday morning, he was sitting at his kitchen table about 8 o'clock in the morning with a beer in his hand. His life was, he said, it was spinning out of control. He said, he came to the end of himself. He said, I cannot go on this way. I can't continue this way. He said, he walked out that back door, fell on the ground, and called out for the Lord to save him. He said, instantly, he felt a change in his soul. He said, instantly, I knew I had been born again. He said, he got up, he started running down the street, stopping cars, telling them, Jesus Christ just saved me. Let me tell you about it. I want you to experience the same thing I've experienced. He said he went back to work Monday morning. He told his boss and his colleagues, I just got saved. I know the Lord wants me to serve him. I might not be here much longer in this job. But he said the Lord never took him out of that job. He was willing. He was ready. But the Lord kept him there to be a witness to his boss, his colleagues. And so he's just active in the church. He's active in the student ministry and using his house to serve the Lord for student gatherings. And it's just a joy, a blessing to see how he and his wife are serving the Lord today based on his testimony in his past life. And I just share that testimony about John to say God doesn't call everyone to a foreign mission field. He doesn't call everyone to full-time service. But he does call everyone to be faithful in what he has entrusted to them. Whether it's for a short period of time or a long period of time. Whether he does call you to service later or not. He calls us to be faithful each day in what he has entrusted to us. Maybe there's someone today here that's like John, that's been running from the Lord. I would say today is the best day to get saved. Which is 2 Corinthians 6:2 tells us, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. If someone here today has not yet accepted the Lord as their Savior, I would beg with you, don't put it off another day. Maybe someone today is feeling called into full-time service, into missions work. And if that's the case, I would say obey the calling. Talk to your pastor about it. I would say there is room in every country for one more missionary. So don't worry about that. The gospel is in desperate need all over the world. But maybe someone today is just being under conviction to just be a better witness for the Lord here in Clayton, just here in your home community. There are Americans. So many Americans have a copy of God's Word, but they don't understand what they're reading. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch, they don't understand it. If they read it at all, they don't understand it. Who will guide them? Who will help them understand the truth that so many Americans possess but don't even understand? It's also interesting in these instances we talked about Philip, about Peter, about Ananias, Cornelius, Paul. They saw visions. They saw angels. They saw the Lord. But these angels, the Lord, didn't tell them what they needed to do. He did tell them what they needed to do. He said, call for this person. They will tell you what you need to do. God does not use angels to proclaim the gospel. Angels don't need to be saved. We do. And God uses us, believers, to share the gospel, to fulfill the Great Commission. He could use angels, but he doesn't. In his wisdom and his sovereignty, he chooses to use us to fulfill the Great Commission. So angels are involved, but it is us who has to share the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. So maybe the Lord is calling you to be a more effective witness tonight. Maybe the Lord is calling you to take the gospel to a foreign land. Or maybe the Lord is calling you to receive Christ as your Savior tonight. I'll leave you with another question. Where will you be in 25 years in your service for the Lord? Where will you be in 10 years, in 5 years, tomorrow? We are all to grow in our knowledge, our understanding, our faith, and our obedience to the Lord. In 2 Peter 3:18, of course, tells us, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How is the Lord speaking to you tonight? For personal salvation? For full-time service? Or just to be a more active witness for Him? However the Lord is calling you, may your response be that the same as young Samuel in 1 Samuel 3:10. And the Lord called him, and Samuel replied, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you have called us, entrusted us with the gospel. And you, it is your desire for us to propagate your gospel, to make disciples of all nations. We pray that you would help us tonight, that you would help us all grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us all to be effective witnesses for you wherever you call us. And do pray that if there is someone tonight that has not yet accepted Christ as their Savior, tonight they will see their need. They'll put aside their pride, put aside their fear that Satan may be causing them, and that they would receive Christ as their personal Savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.